How many of you are familiar with the 1040 window? Yeah, okay. A few of you are familiar with the 1040 window. Do you know that two-thirds of the world's population lives in the 1040 window? And so that's the, get this right, my latitude, 1040. And so that part of the world, and so if you go onto a map and you look at that part of the world, 1040 window, you're going to find that China is in that part of the world and that India is in that part of the world. And when you look at what we do as missions, as mission work in that part of the world, and you look for every dollar that is given to missions around the world, they say about one penny of every dollar that is given for missions goes to that part of the world. And yet, it is where two-thirds of the world live. Matter of fact, not only that, but it is the least evangelized part of the world. There's less Christians in that part of the world than any other part of the world. One of the reasons why is because that part of the world is highly persecuted. Christians are highly persecuted for their faith. And so it is a hard part to be able to minister to. I've had the privilege of being able to be part of a mission organization that goes into China and works with the underground church in China and serving them as they fulfill their mandate of taking the gospel out of China and into the rest of the world and in towards Jerusalem. And so this morning, we have some folks here, and I'm not going to mention the name of their organization. And the reason is because they are in a part of the world in India where persecution happens. And so because we're streaming this is why, I'm not going to mention that. But they're in that difficult part of the world where they are serving, where there is persecution. So we get to hear about that. And it is a passion of mine and a heartbeat of mine that we are able to hear about this and be challenged by this and hopefully be stirred and moved in our hearts. So I am not going to share much more other than I'm going to ask the executive director, Cam, if he will come, and he's going to share a little bit more with you. And then Vanessa is going to come, and she's going to share about what they actually on the boots on the ground do. And then we're gonna sing a song, and we want to invite you, if you would like to give a love offering for these folks. And so that's going to happen at our last song. But I'll give you a little bit more detail about that. But Cam, why don't you share with us for a few moments?
Awesome. Thanks so much, Scott. Thank you, first off, so much for welcoming us here. As Scott mentioned, we obviously be careful about a few things that we'll say, but we'll be available after, so feel free to come pick our brains then and talk to us then. I'm just going to quickly pray, if you guys are all right with that, so you'll just bow with me. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you so much that we can be here together, Lord. And I just thank you so much for every individual here and, that is a part of this church, Lord. And I just thank you for those that aren't here but are just thinking of us, Lord. And we think of those that aren't here with us right now. But, Lord, I just pray that you'll go before us this morning. I just pray that you will help whatever you're speaking through us, that it'll just resonate in some way with the church here, Lord, and with the individuals on their individual journeys, Lord. And everybody has their own journey that they're on with you, Lord. And the amazing thing is that we can come together and worship you all together, no matter what journey that we're on. And we can learn from each other as brothers and sisters, Lord. And I just pray that you will help us all to, just listen to what you have to say. And, that we can share in different experiences together. And I just pray that anything that is here to oppose us today, Lord, that you'll just send it away, and that you'll just continue to be present with us and fill this room before us. And I just thank you for your forever faithfulness, and just thank you for this day. In your name I pray, amen. Yeah, so as Scott mentioned, my name is Cam Clausen, and I'm the executive director of a unknown organization. So some of you might know, I'm not sure totally where everything was or what was said before we got here in the coming weeks, but unfortunately you do have to see me. We were supposed to have obviously a group of kids from India with us, who are just amazing kids. Part of what our organization does is we've partnered with some community kids that are extremely talented in song and dance, and they were obviously supposed to come here and share. So you're stuck with me now. I will not dance for you, and I definitely will not sing. I was the guy over there that was way off key, and this is about my best move, so so unfortunately the kids couldn't come here. I won't get too much into the weeds of why, but even with what we can and cannot say, there's just some political tensions that unfortunately just didn't allow them to be able to come at this time. As Vanessa will share a little bit more in detail, God is still very much working in India, and we're so lucky to be able to share some of that with you. I won't talk too much longer, but I do just want to say part of what we do, just going back a little bit more, you'll see some beautiful socks out front or out in the lobby there. Kind of the original iteration of our organization involved partnering with ladies in some remote Himalayan communities that make these extraordinary socks. And we work with them, and a portion of the profits go back to the two orphanages that we're also involved with in India. And these orphanages are just raising amazing kingdom leaders that are going on to do just amazing things in and around India itself, and that has kind of led into the most recent involvement or project that God's kind of led us to, and he's used this, which Vanessa will share a little bit more about, but he's used this the project that we're involved with the socks to develop a connection to the surrounding community. And we've now been able to connect with families that aren't a part directly of the orphanages that we're involved with. And just to kind of cover that off too, you'll hear Vanessa refer a little bit to orphanages or children's homes. They're kind of one and the same. Some of the kids aren't true orphans, but they come from very destitute situations that may not allow them to continue to be with their biological parent, or they may only have one parent. So it's led us to be able to connect with the community around us in India. And I say us, I should say too that Vanessa works obviously over in India, and she's there with her husband Mike. I live in Kelowna, and I go to India at least once a year. But God's kind of led me on my own journey into Kelowna to be a part of this, and I'm very lucky to be partnered with Mike and Vanessa, but they're the two missionaries that we support in India who are involved in the homes. And yeah, so like I was saying, we're now being able to connect with the community around us, and that involves the kids that were supposed to come on the troop, we call it. And with that being said, I'll call Vanessa up, and she's going to share a little bit more just in detail about, yeah, just how God has been working in, yeah, just really a part of India that is 0.1% Christian. And so there's a lot he is doing there, and I'm excited for Vanessa to share a little bit more about that with you.
Thanks, Cam. I have this. Can you hear me? I know. It's attached to my face. Awesome. Thank you so much for having us. You are going to see on the slides behind me a glimpse of India. And we intentionally have these images coming at you a little bit randomly, but that's authentic to India for those of you who've been to the subcontinent. I've been there almost 10 years. And in that time, I've seen some of the most stunningly beautiful things I can imagine, and also some of the absolutely most devastating. And so, and everything in between. So you will see a lot of life coming at you, but that is also just to give you the experience, a little bit of, as much as we can, the experience of what it's actually like there. So I live in a very tiny village in the Himalayas, and it's walk-in-only village. There is a main road. We're down in the orchard. So I get a lot of good exercise trucking around with my groceries, things like that. There's a lot of cows and sheep running around, monkeys in the pine trees. It's like nowhere you've ever seen. It's amazing. Where we live does look a lot like Nepal. And I will give you a little bit more details about that. So Mike and I ended up there because of two children's homes, as Cam spoke of. God called us there. I was actually at UVic for many, many moons, and I loved living in Victoria. And while I was studying, the Lord called me there. And actually, for those of you at any age in your journey, there's often a very long call between, or very long time between being called and being sent. If you're lucky, you end up like Moses, 40 years on the back of a mountain. So I had 8 years. And then we went there, and we were in these children's homes for orphaned and destitute kids. And, you know, one challenge that, it's all run by local people. These places are thriving in incredible ways. And in fact, they're mostly now staffed by the grads who've come up in those homes and those families and said, I want to give back. I want to raise the next generation. They're beautiful places. And so Mike and I are like, what is really helping, you know? Like, what can we really do? And we were in the local market, and we saw some of these beautiful socks. We saw some of these beautiful socks. You're like, wow, those are awesome. they're completely handmade by women in the Himalayas. And these are their traditions, and they're passed from mother to daughter. And we're like, this could be cool. So that's what we do, is we give back a portion of our profits to the children's homes we work in that are raising up another generation of kingdom leaders. And then we support women in need who hand make all these products. So that's how our journey started. And then a little bit later, in fact, last year, we have three Indian partners, and me and my husband and Cam, and God was inviting us into a new adventure, the troop. And at first, there's one of my Indian partners, we were like, God was really putting it on particularly my husband's heart, and I sort of went in a deeply spiritual way, like, nah. I was like, God, we have so much going on. We work in these children's homes. We're running this company. I don't really think, we can take on anything else. But what we did was, we do this every January. We and our partners, we go, we pray and we fast, even on a mountain. We pray and we fast, and we ask God, is this from you? And all six of us came back and said, yes, it is. So here we are on this new road. And so what the troop is a group of children. They are not from the children's homes. God's now spreading us out into the communities around there too, because our children are very well cared for. But other families who are struggling and their kids. We're working now with other people in villages. And this children is singing, dancing, and sharing stories of hope and transformation. And what is so cool is the troop, and we are involved with taking care of their education, which is a big, I can't even get into all the details, that is a big burden for many families. And we don't believe parents should have to break their backs for their kids to have a basic education. But the children volunteered to share their stories with you because they want to share out of the abundance of what God is doing in their lives. Okay, so before I go into more, I wanted to backtrack and just give you a little bit more information about India, because most of our immigrants in Canada, not all, but most of our immigrants in India come from Punjab, right? But Punjab is only about 2% of India. India's a big place. We have over 1 billion people. So most of India does not wear turbans. Most of India does not eat butter chicken often. Okay? most of India is Hindu. Most of India is Hindu, not Sikh. And out of Hinduism comes Sikhism, Buddhism, Jainism, all sorts of things. Furthermore, we live, in our remote regions, we live in a place that is 0.18% Christian. 0.18%. We're not even close to 1%. Okay? So, and we, those of us who do follow Jesus and the local people who follow Jesus often face unbelievable persecution for their faith. A friend of ours was in prison last year for following, because he had created a fellowship, let's call it that, and years ago, and years later, they hunted him down and they threw him in prison for that. And while he was there, his wife, he was on the phone with my husband, Mike, and she was crying and sharing about what had happened. But she said, but I need to bring more Bibles. Mike's like, what? Why do you need to bring more Bibles? And she's like, well, he's brought everyone in his cell to the Lord. And they're I wanted to share, too, like, stories of the persecuted church, but also just to encourage you that Jesus is an unstoppable force in this world. And even for ourselves living there, we also have had to have a taste of this. So with our Fazal Center, where we have a head center, the ladies can knit from the comfort of their own homes, but we do have a head center where they bring in their finished products, and we do, you know, quality control, we weigh wool, and we do devotions and every morning with the head staff ladies, we can call them. So, but in our original center, all of a sudden, and this is owned by one of my Indian partners, they started saying, the locals in this little village were saying, men, we want this building. We want this building. They wanted to kick us out. And so some of our local leaders went down, and they were like, okay, what's going on? So these men listed all these reasons, and it's the women in this village that are really getting all the benefit. At the time as well, they were doing vocational training, teaching ladies how to use computers or sew, and of course, all the sock work going on. These men are coming, they're saying, we want this building, we want you out of here, and giving all these strange reasons why. So our local leaders dug in a bit more, like, what's really going on? Like, why do you want us out of here? And then it finally came out that their God said to take this building. It doesn't belong to them, but they said to take this building. And so we were like, well, we don't feel that we are going to listen to your idol and leave, so we are going to stay here. And then one day, my business partner and ministry partner, Se Wong, got a phone call. And she immediately called us, and she's like, they're going to burn it down if we don't get out. They're going to burn it down. So we had to do an emergency move, and by God's grace, no women were hurt, and we didn't even lose one sock. But, yes! But that's just a small example of what it costs to follow Jesus in this part of the world, facing things like this. And sadly, I was asked about this because I sometimes forget to share, but what ended up happening was the men took that building and use it to drink and gamble in, where before it was so. But we have but God uses all things for our good. Maybe they'll use it for something else. They might turn it into a parking lot, but we're in a better center for us now, and God protects us, and he is with us. Thank you. So I also wanted to just share with you a word of encouragement, and out of some stories that have been deeply impressed on our hearts over the last 9 years of serving there. So if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open up to Mark 6. I'm going to be sharing from Mark 6 and Mark 8. And in fact, I think Pastor Scott is sharing with you next week from Mark 7. So the Lord knew we're doing like a holy sandwich. Okay, so Mark 6, verse 34, if you have it with you. All right. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." Okay, so let's go over. Let's skip chapter 7 and go over to chapter 8, verse 1. So these are almost back-to-back miracles of multiplication in the Gospel of Mark. Very interesting. So here we go. Mark 8, verse 1. "During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples and said, 'I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance.' His disciples answered, 'But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?'" They weren't paying attention the first time Jesus fed all the multitude. "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "How many loaves do you have?" So we've been serving in North India now for almost 10 years. And because of that, we've experienced the immense challenges of life there. And in the West, going without means something very, very different than going without in India. There are 30 million orphans in India. That's almost 3/4 of Canada completely orphaned. There are over 100 million people who are the ultra poor. They do not have access to nutritious food, consistent electricity, cooking fuel. Our stoves don't just turn on. We need gas. And you have to haul those in with cylinders. They don't have access to clean water. But there are still afflictions here, some similar and some different. And when I return to the West, I think about some of these things, the pain I see here. There's debt and relational brokenness. There's physical and mental illness, relentless busyness, and debilitating loneliness. There's hunger for healing. There's hunger for freedom from a way of life we often know isn't working. There's hunger for rest. And there's hunger to be known and loved. So I want to ask you this morning, what do you hunger for? Because Jesus has compassion for you. That's repeated in both of those stories. I'm not sure if you caught that Jesus has compassion, that exact word. And before we talk more about this story, I want to say there's this awesome line from Rick Warren, and he says, "If you have a need, plant a seed. If you have a need, plant a seed." And that works really well for me because it rhymes, so I will remember it. I can need all the help I can get, you know? And in this story, we're going to circle back to that, but in this story, Jesus really could have fed everyone. Like, bam, he turned water into wine. He raises people from the dead. He's healing people, casting out demons. There's nothing he can't do. We know that, right? But he doesn't go poof. He says to them, in the first story we read, "You give them something to eat." And then he says, in both stories, he says, "How many loaves do you have?" So the real question is, what are we willing to give? What are we willing to give? Because these stories teach us that it's only what we give that gets multiplied. It's only what we give that gets multiplied. And there's actually more promises in the Bible about giving than anything else. Isn't that amazing? And we can go through them. You can ask Pastor Scott. You can ask later about that. I'm not going to get into it. I'm going to keep us moving a little bit, but I have a list of even verses about the promises about giving, and we have lived those promises. Let me share one of my favorite miracle stories with you. So 1 year, we had a really rough sock season with Fazzle. Some years are very bountiful. 1 year, Catherine Heigl surprised us and featured us on the Drew Barrymore show. We had no idea she even owned Fazzle or our socks. So we were like, oh my gosh, it was wild. But not every season is bountiful. And we'd had a really rough season. And because our mandate at the very beginning was to give 50% of our profits away, now we're giving, if you're buying through the foundation, it's 100%. But we were like, we're going to give away 50% of our profits. And so we were meeting together and praying and fasting over, God, how are you calling us to move? We've had a really rough go. How are we going to do this? And one of my Indian business partners brought up this story. And I believe she was reading another gospel, so it talks about the little boy who brought the loaves and the fishes. And she was talking about it, and she said, you know, that little boy didn't have to bring up anything at all. And in fact, sometimes when I think about that story, I think there were other people who had food, but they weren't willing to give it. They just maybe scrounged it in the corner, hoping no one was looking. But one little boy came forward with his loaves and his fishes. So my partner says, hey, I think what we should do after our terrible sock season is we should give all of our profits away. And I was like, some of you might be in business. No business school teaches you this. Take all your profits, give them away, and hope for the best the rest of the year. Because we have a short selling season, right? Anyway, so we're like, oh my gosh. And then sure enough, all my Indian partners immediately are like, bam, bam, bam. Yes, let's give it all to the Lord, to the children. And Cam even goes, if we're going to go for broke, let's do it for the kids. So me and my husband are like, oh my gosh, I guess we're doing this. Let's do it. Let's go. The next day, so we dedicated our profits. The next day, we got a phone call from a company, and they wanted to buy a huge amount of socks for the exact amount, if not more, that we had just dedicated to the Lord, dedicated to giving. And they bought only mediums, which is, as you can imagine, generally our most popular size, and they bought it in the most popular sizes, or styles, sorry. And the story's not over. So we were just stoked. We're like, God did a miracle, woohoo! And then, a couple of weeks go by, Cam gets another phone call from, you know, the JW Marriott, those hotels? Okay, so the ones in Calgary. And they're like, we want some of your socks. We're like, great. We weren't going to tell them, like, hey, we're sold out of our, like, most popular size and all the styles in it. My fancy business plan was, I was like, I'm going to beg the women to knit really fast and just hope we can do whatever they order. So we didn't tell them because we had shipped mediums from Canada and India. We're pretty much out in all those. So we're just, like, hoping for the best. We're like, this is so cool. And so then what happens? They put in their order, and they only ordered smalls and larges. And that's never happened in the history of our company, as far as I know. So it was just it was so amazing. So when we have a need, we planted a seed. We needed help, but God called us to give first. He called us to give first. So, and you know, as I go on serving and just my journey with Jesus, God doesn't need me to give anything. I've learned that. He has it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills or 100 hills, but he's concerned about our character, right? He's concerned about our character, that we are going to become like him. And God is a giver. We wouldn't have a breath in our lungs if it wasn't a gift from him. So, as we go into this new year, we're not even 2 weeks into 2025. My question for you is, what kind of seeds are you going to plant this year? Here are some fun facts about seeds. I'm going to start with a bit of a downer first, especially for us who live in the West. But there's always a gap between planting and harvesting. This is hard for us because of our culture, right? Like, we have drive-thrus here. You know, things come really quick. You can order a Starbucks, and it, like, is already ready for you at the store when you get there. This does not happen in a lot of the world, okay? So, like, things are fast, and we want it fast. But if you plant a seed, you got to wait several months for it to come up. And I know many of you have probably planted seeds, and you're waiting years and years. So I want to encourage you to stay in the field, because there is no feeling like when you have prayed and cried out to God, and he brings that to fruition. There is a verse in Galatians 6:9. I'm going to read it in the Living Bible translation. The first part of it's very famous. And let us not get tired of doing what is right. Hold on, though. For after a while, Not right away, for after a while, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not get discouraged and give up. Planting seeds is an act of faith, that something is going on beneath the soil, and we can't poke at it, and we can't push it, and we can't, like, you know, unearth it and make me like, hey, hello in there. Well, maybe you can. I don't recommend it, though. That God is at work when we are completely out of control, when it is completely out of our control. Okay, another thing about seeds is you always reap way more than what you plant, right? And this is for good and for bad. So if you plant seeds of gossip, people are going to gossip about you. If you plant seeds of bitterness in your family and with your children, you're going to have bitter children. And that's going to come up around you. If you plant seeds of encouragement, people will encourage you. And if you are generous with others, people will be generous with you. And even better, God will be generous with you. So whatever we plant, it comes back, it multiplies. Seeds always produce multiplication. It's so cool. I just love, I'm becoming borderline obsessed with seeds, but that's a conversation for another time. But the other thing that's really neat is they're meant for more than just us. When I lived in Victoria, we did that, I don't know if it's called a gleaners program, but we would go and we would collect fruit from people's fruit trees that they didn't want to pick up and was kind of bruised and on the ground. We can donate it to charity. And I remember, it's like these trees are literally producing so much fruit, these poor folks can't even pick it all. And nor should probably most of us eat like 500 apples. It's like, might have some weird consequences for us. But all that to say is God gives us all this not so that we can just hoard it, but so that we can share. So that we can share. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:10, for God who gives seed to the farmer to plant and later on good crops to harvest and eat will give you more and more seed to plant and will make it grow so that you can give away more and more fruit from your harvest. The idea is that we're not a block, but a channel. And I think so often God is looking for channels of blessings and he's seeing who can I trust to pour into. To pour into. And we've just decided in our lives that we want to try and be one of those channels and just pour out as much as we can. Okay, and I wanted to share to you, we have been planting seeds for years, and there is this, I'm sorry, I don't have the exact name, there's this interesting type of bamboo where you plant that seed and you have to water it, tend it, wait, and it takes 7 years for it to come up. That's a long time to wait in faith. Okay, but we've also experienced that as well. We been in the field a long time, having our ladies come, having morning devos before they get into their sock stuff. Nobody's coming to faith, and we're just hoping and hoping. And then all of a sudden, all of them in the head office came to faith in 8 days. Just bam, the bamboo came up, right? And so just for each of you too, where do you just need to stay faithful? Where do you need to water a little more? Hang in there. It will come. And don't be afraid to plant new seeds. So it's 2025. And sometimes I imagine that for a lot of us, we're starting it with a weary heart. Or we feel burdened. We feel tired. We're not sure how we're going to get through. But I want to encourage you, give your loaves. Plant your seeds. Run your race. The race God puts us in, it is a long endurance course, okay? No prizes for finishing first. And it's unique to each of us, right? And God will take us, but there is some similarities. We all get to do some desert roads, okay? It's mostly uphill. I know I'm really selling it to you. You'll get injured. You will want to give up. But that's normal. Just take the next step. Some days, just take one step. Let me tell you, I'm going to close pretty soon here, but I wanted to just tell you a few things I've learned among working among the least reached and among children who, at a very young age, have seen the worst of what the world has to offer. Some of our kids, they've been rescued from being child laborers. Of course, parents have passed away, sometimes horrifically. We have one child where his mother committed suicide, and a week later, his father committed suicide, and he found his father's body. One little girl, It's hard for me to talk about her without crying, but she came to us just a year ago, and she was rescued because her father had tried to sell her for $80. And there really is no wound heaven can't heal. And I've seen those two children I'm speaking of, sorry, they're my kids now. We adopt them into our orphanage family. But God has given them unbelievable joy. And there's nothing we can do. There's things we do to help traumatized kids for sure. There's nothing I can do to restore the soul. There's only one person who can do that. And we bring children into his presence. And I've learned a lot through getting to be a part of that over almost a decade. But I will share with you this. Sometimes God will ask you to climb into a pit with people so that they will understand what love is. And the cup of suffering is also the cup of joy. You don't get one without the other. And even though we face a lot, it is the absolute joy of my life, and I'm going back. I'm not done. And it is my honor to do this work. It is my honor to serve. And you know what? Wherever you are, your journey with Jesus is the adventure of your life. Take courage. Do it. It's worth it. Don't quit. Take one more step. And as we've gone through really challenging seasons, I've come to realize that it's up to me. It's my choice. No one takes this choice away from me. It's my choice when I can't go any farther. It's my choice when I don't have any seeds. And I'm not talking about Sabbath, and I'm not talking about taking time out. Those are holy things. Sabbath is in the Big Ten, okay? But it's up to us. We decide when we don't have anything left to give. Because as long as we have Jesus, we have something. We have something. And if you've ever wondered, if there's got to be more to life than this, you're right, there is. Take hold of Jesus' hand. Take hold of that which is truly life. So as you go into this year, what seeds are you going to plant? What do you need? Give that first. You'll be amazed at what God can do. And remember, it's only what you give that gets multiplied. So as we're going forward in our journey, God has invited us into a new garden of our foundation, the unnamed foundation. And if you want to be a part of that, I want to invite you into that too. But I just want to say as well, where is God inviting you to give your time, talent, and treasure? It might start with making a meal for a single mom, giving where you worship, being a part of worship, hanging out with that weird neighbor on your block. God put them there to grow your character, okay? We all got a weird neighbor on your block, okay? Maybe that's where God's calling you to first. We have a lot of needs. If you want to partner with us, I'm going to share a few ways you can do that. One way we want to invite you is we want to invite you to come. If you guys would like to send a team over, we're not always open to welcoming teams. We are in a season where we are. We have a sign-up sheet, or you can check out one of these cards later and fill one of these out. And get in touch with me, get in touch with Cam. We would love to invite you to come to India and to see what God is doing among the least reached and how and to experience his presence there. You can check out some of these socks if you're interested. And we are looking to bring the troop to you next year, Lord willing. We will need help to do that because we have hit a big delay. So if you would like to be a part of that as well, we have a little QR code here to make it easy to scan. And we always really deeply appreciate your prayers. And most of all, I just want to thank you so much. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for allowing us to share a little bit about our journey. And we just are very thankful, and we just bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you so much. Thank you.